Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
So we're starting a brand new series today. It kind of follows on with the last one. The last one was all about decision making. Yes, no, I don't know. And we come to this crossroads in 2020 where this has been a year like no other for all of us. We've all gone through a massive journey, and in the church, we've been like walking this journey out and discerning the Spirit and just really leaning in to his word, to what he would have for us. And so this series is called Worthy. So someone type that in the chat, Worthy. Get your Bible out to Exodus chapter 25, and I'm going to be diving right into the story of Moses and pulling out a few different helpful things there. And so let me pray. Father God, I know that you have a plan. We lean into you. We trust you. We thank you, Lord, that you're God above all. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God, that even though that Toronto, in the city of Toronto, that we've been given tighter restrictions and different living circumstances again, we lean into you. We trust you. We know that you have a word for us today, this morning. And so, Lord God, we open up our heart, we open up our spirit, and we just thank you, God, that you are large and in charge. And we give you all the glory because you're worthy. Come on, just write that in the chat again. God is worthy. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of all the glory in spite of our circumstances. Now, here's what we're doing. This is a 3-week series. And on the last week of this series, before we launch into like the official Christmas season, we are taking up a very special one-day Sunday offering. That's right. We are taking up we've never done this before, a single Sunday offering where we're preparing a couple of weeks, 2 Sundays from now, taking some time to pray and consider that financially we would bring something to God, something sacrificial, something generous to worship him and honor him. And so you might be thinking, man, Sam, like, you must be mistaken. Like, are your eyes not open? Like, do you know the 2020 that I've gone through economically? Or, you know, I'm not sure that I can do that. And so this kind of is the point, is that I don't want to let this year not be God's year. It feels like this year has stolen from our lives. It feels like this year is even stolen from our finances. For many of us, it's shaken our lives to a very significant point. But what I feel that we need to do through this time is that in spite of what's going on, that we're not going to let our circumstances dictate our worship, but we are going to let our worship guide our circumstances. And here's the thing, for no other reason, God deserves our worship because he is worthy. We don't need to worship God because we expect that he's going to do something for us, although he's a generous God and a loving father, and he does. And this practice of giving these offerings, these are called free will offerings. This is a big practice all through the Bible. And one of the most significant ones would be David taking up an offering for the temple, and Moses taking up an offering for the tabernacle. And so we're going to talk about that from Exodus 25 a little bit, but I want to read out, you know, when David was setting it up in 1 Chronicles 29, you don't have to turn there. It says, the people rejoiced. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
The people rejoiced. And at the willing response of the leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And that is the attitude, and that is the posture that we are going into this on December the 6th. For God so loved the 6th. December the 6th. We are going into this free, in love with Jesus, filled with joy, not feeling obligated, not feeling pressure or twisted, but because we use everything in our lives to raise his name above any other name, especially the name of COVID, in the name of Jesus, and say, God, 2020 wasn't the year I expected, but I'm worshiping you nonetheless. To say, God, 2020 had a bunch of different circumstances that weren't ideal for my life, but I'm going to worship you nonetheless. God, I don't know how much I can do here, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to be a part of it, and I'm going to come wholeheartedly. And so that was the response when David was taking up the offering for the temple. But Moses, this story here in Exodus 25 says this, and it's very similar tones. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You're to receive an offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them. And I would ask you to consider your heart of worship before God and let God prompt you on what you're to do. And then it lists out a whole bunch of stuff here. It says, these are the offerings you're to receive from them. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, different colored yarn. Have a yarn. That's an Aussie way of saying have a chat, have a conversation, get on Zoom, get in connect groups and have a yarn with some people, some fine linen, goat hair. Don't be bringing your goat hair on December 6th. We don't want no goat hair. All right, that's Old Testament. Ram skins, dyed leather, another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lights, spices for the anointing oil, fragrant incense, onyx stones. Come on, get you some onyx stones and some other gems to be mounted on the ephod of the breast. Here's the point here, all right? Is that there's a list here to say that everybody has something. Everybody has something. You might look at your brother or your sister, and you might not think that you have what they have, but it's not about what they have and what they're giving. It's about what you have and what you're giving. And this is an invitation from God to come wholeheartedly. And then they did it for a reason. Verse 8, it says, then have them make a sanctuary for me. And I will dwell among them, make this tabernacle and the furnishings exactly as the pattern that I will show you. And then it goes on 7 chapters explaining the pattern of the tabernacle. And here's the thing, this is what this tells me, is that God has a plan. God has a plan. And we, as we come before him and we surrender to him, that we will discover his plan for our 2021 and beyond. And what you're in the middle of something, I'm in the middle of something right now. And God has a plan, but we need to worship. In March, our Vision Builders series, that series was interrupted halfway through when the announcements for COVID hit. And Vision Builders is this building of the sanctuary. We are taking up extra offering for the establishment of a building sanctuary as a church. And if you're new to our church, you might not have heard much about that in this year because it's been a different year. But traditionally, and people would know, being a part of the life of our church, that Vision Builders is this invitation to sacrificially give. And Jess and I, we're continuing our Vision Builders commitment, our ongoing commitment, and there's always an opportunity for you to make an ongoing commitment and just, you know, you just need to reach out to the church. But what Jess and I are doing and what we believe God is calling us to and what we're calling the whole church to is that I don't want 2020 to and the circumstances of this year to be the Lord of this year. We are making a decision to step forward wholeheartedly and be a part of this offering and lead the way in this offering. And I think it's going to be significant. The sanctuary, it's a holy place. It's a set apart place. Through this time, not being able to meet together in church buildings the way that we would normally do it has just shown me the value of the sanctuary, where God's people come together and before their Creator in heaven, and it's like it's an altar. This is an altar space for worship. It's a place of worship. It's where God's people of faith come together, set apart, and worship God. And I'm excited about the future of our church. I'm excited about the buildings that we will have. And in this city, I believe that there needs to be churches all over this city, particular places, altars, dedicated to worship the Creator God, the one true God, the Alpha and the Omega, the being above all other beings, and He is worthy. Amen? Amen. So that little chunk of scripture about the offering there was Moses was on this mountain called Mount Sinai, and he was away from the people for 40 days. Somebody say 40 days. Away from the people for 40 days. But and this offering was a part of God's master plan. God had a bigger plan. And this is what I want to preach into today and what I believe that each and every person listening to this needs to lean in and get. So I want you to make sure you take some notes, but really let God speak to your heart right here, right now. Because Moses was away for a bunch of time, but what in the uncertainty, in the absence of God's voice, the people messed it up a bit. And this is the gift that the Israelites are to us in the Old Testament, is the Israelites are a representation of humanity. You and I are human beings. We mess up all the time. And I'm not gonna lie to you and tell you that I've made perfect decisions all the way through 2020. I have stumbled in my faith. I have tripped over making good godly decisions, and I have found myself in need to surrender to God and to worship God. And here's what the Israelites did in 32, chapter 32 of Exodus, is they messed it up a little bit. So let's read this, and we're going to learn a couple of things from this. So when the people saw that Moses was so long. Somebody say delayed. When people saw that Moses was so long in coming, he was delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, let us make other gods. Let us make gods who will go before us, who will kind of get the job done. Let's other gods will go before us." And then this next sentence, you can see how much familiarity and contempt they had for Moses. Like, they're like, "As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened." Somebody say, "I don't know." I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know. And so in this, Aaron says, "We'll take the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." And so all the people took off their earrings. They took up another offering. Are you kidding me? They all the people took off their earrings, brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed to him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a cow, fashioned it with a tool. They said, "These are the gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." What? No, it wasn't. It was God Almighty. Here's the thing. They used the very thing that was meant for worshiping God in the delay of Moses. They used it and made other gods with it. They made other ways with it, other solutions with it. And you and I, we can do this if we're not careful. If our worship is not directed, we can find ourselves worshiping other things when we feel like we're in a delayed period of time. This is what 2020 has felt like. This is real to me. So point one, God has purpose. This is what you need to know. God has purpose in the delay. God has purpose. God has a plan. He has a purpose in the delay. They were in the middle of the wilderness. They'd come out from Egypt. They had gone through the Red Sea, and they were on their way of promise. The purpose of God, the arc of the purpose of God, was so much greater than a 40-day period of time. And when we're stuck in the middle of 2020, and we're stuck in the middle of 8 months of not ideal isolation and all this stuff going on and fear and different things and disarray hitting our society, when we're in the middle of this window of time, we can start to be uncertain. We can start to doubt. We can actually start to get impatient in the delay. And the longer the delay is, the more uncertain we become. And this is what happened, because the people are in the valley. Moses is up on the mountain. He's up having this mountain experience. And the people start making a way for them to feel better about what they don't have a perspective on. Their perspective is limited. And they start to freak out, and the longer the days go on, the more they start to create these other things in order to make them feel settled in what they're not certain about. And you and I can do this. I don't know how that looks in your life, but we go through COVID longer and longer, and then we start to lean into our own strength a little bit more than we should. We start to trust in our finances. We start to trust in our education. We start to trust in the media, in the news, in other things. We start to lean into these false gods, lean into these false strengths, these false things of authority, these things that really in perspective have no power to help us, to lead us, to help us get through life. If we don't know how to make ends meet, we stop trusting God. We might stop tithing. We might retreat back. And you're like, man, I would never do that. I never saw myself doing that. I never saw myself doubting God. But it's easy to say those things when everything's going easy. But then the moment 2020 hits, the moment COVID hits, then all of a sudden, a person that thought they were really, really strong on faith now starts to wonder, I don't know, what am I meant to do right now? Because I need to solve this thing. I'm out of control. I don't know what's going on. I don't feel right. Things don't feel as I expected them to be. And the Israelites are moving through the wilderness. They're not in the promised land yet. They might have had a different idea as to how that was all going to work out, but they're in the middle. You and I are in the middle. And then so we make these things, and what they were doing is they were indulging in the flesh a little bit. And this, could this be your life through COVID? At different times, you found, man, I need something that I can lean on. I need something that can help me, because in all the uncertainty, I need a little salvation in this. I need to salve this a little bit. And so what do? Is we turn to these other little gods to give us what only God can give us, to give us that little bit of peace, to give us that little bit of comfort. What are you talking about, Sam? Well, I'm talking about Netflix. I'm talking about online shopping. I'm talking about these little gods of like, of overindulging eating, of alcohol, of medication, of turning to things in the late night on the internet that we shouldn't be looking at. I'm talking about indulging in different relationships and we compromising our purity. And then you find yourself as a Christian, you know that you are sacred. You know that you're called by God. You know that God has a promise for your life, but then all of a sudden you start finding, because of circumstances and because things are a little bit delayed in their fulfillment, that we end up doing things that compromise our faith, that we shouldn't be doing, these little golden calves. And so here's what I'm reminding you is God has promise. God, just because circumstances have not lined up in your life the way you expected just yet, doesn't mean he's not a promise keeper. Doesn't mean he doesn't have promise for your life. I want to tell you, don't settle for the golden cow that you can see when God is doing something in the cloud that you can't see. See, here's the thing. When Moses climbed Mount Sinai, you got to see this scene. Mount Sinai, Moses goes up this mountain and there is a storm, the Bible says, all around the mountain, where there's flashes of lightning, where there's like trumpets, like there is a fanfare and there's fire in this storm, and it's this epic scene, but it was hidden, it was veiled from the people of God in the valley. And this is the frustration, is sometimes the things of God, the plans of God feel a little bit cloudy. Has anyone felt that 2020 has had some foggy moments, some cloudy moments? God, I wish you would just tell me what is going on. God, I wish you would just tell me. I got a sense that you've got a plan in all this, but I don't know. Your voice feels silent. It feels cloudy. It feels absent. I want to tell you, in that moment, trust that God is doing something greater in the cloud. Somebody say right now here in the chat, just say, there's something in the cloud. There is something in the cloud. God is doing something in the cloud that you can't see. Don't let yourself be tempted to follow the cow that you can see. Ignore it. You've got to hold. How do you hold faith in this time? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 says that faith is the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the God-fearing, God-knowing promise on the inside of your life that even though I'm in the middle of something, even though 2020 is the way it is, even though I found myself in these circumstances and they're not ideal, that faith says, Hebrews 11 says, I have assurance in what I'm not seeing right now. I have a visual that God is in the cloud and I'm trusting in it. And if I trust him and I wait patiently on the Lord, I'll be renewed in strength. I'll be strengthened for this time. And I'm telling you that there is promise in the delay. Point one. Come on, somebody say promise. There is promise in the delay. Number two, God will finish what he started. Somebody needs to hear this right now, coming at the end of 2020, and we're going to honor God in 3 weeks' time with an offering on December 6th to say, God, I trust that you will complete what you started. God will finish what he started. The whole not knowing, the whole I don't know, the whole limited perspective that we as humans have was the very thing that led Israel to sin. What did they say? They say, well, as for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on. Like, he just peaced out. Is he dead? Like, where'd he go? He walked up in that cloud. Did he get struck by lightning? Like, what's the plan? And like, when we don't know, when in our uncertainty, that we can actually start to question that God is faithful and that his promise even existed in the beginning. What do I mean by that? Well, we're like, well, what has happened to 2020? What's happened to this year? You know, God, I thought God said, but it didn't work out that way. I thought this year, what happened? I don't know. What happened? I thought I was going to get married this year. I thought I was going to be able to buy a home this year, but I'm now more backwards than I was when I started. I want to tell you, God will complete what he started in your life. Just because you feel like you're going backwards doesn't mean he isn't the resurrection God. I thought I was going to get healed this year. I thought we were getting ahead this year. I thought that was a great business idea and it fell through. That partnership fell through. Whatever, that relationship went sour. Are you kidding me? I thought we were getting somewhere and now it went sour. The hope that I thought everything was going to turn around. I thought I was going to be free from this addiction, but I feel more addicted now at the end of 2020 than I did at the beginning of 2020. I want to tell you, God is faithful to complete what he started. Amen? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, be confident. Be confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Be confident that he who began a good work, I'm telling you, some of you, at your faith is just hanging on by a thread, and I'm telling you that faith comes from hearing and hear this word of the Lord, that he is faithful to complete it. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to finish what God started in your own human strength. God led the Israelites out of Egypt. He hadn't got them into the promised land yet, but there was something he was doing in the journey that was important. God had a plan, and the Israelites did not need to make this golden calf. They did not need to boil down their earrings, take what was meant to be honoring God and use it to make their own way out. Do not use your resource, your life, our circumstances to manufacture our own human way in something that God has started. When God sowed the seed, he will bring the fruit in the name of Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 verse 3 says this, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, you're now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Come on. They got out of Egypt. It was a miracle. So where did the Israelites go wrong? And I believe this is going to really help some people right now, is they just didn't remember. They forgot everything good that God had done. Psalms chapter 106 verse 7 says, when our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to the miracles. What miracles, you ask? I'm going to tell you. They gave no thought to the miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses. They rebelled by the sea, by the Red Sea. Verse 13 says, they soon forgot what he had done and they did not wait for his plan to unfold. I don't know about you, but I'm going to remember how good God has been, and I'm going to wait for his plan to unfold. Because I know that when his promise unfolds in my life, it's going to be so much greater than anything that I can do through my own two hands. And so what did they forget, Sam? Like, I mean, I'm telling you, the Israelites were without excuse. Like, God showed up. Like, God was so good to the Israelites. And this is the story that's meant to encourage you and I to look back and remember the amazing things God has done, because that will give us faith for the things that he's about to do. God isn't done. He will finish what he has started. Here's the things. 430 years they were in slavery in Egypt. And then Moses, he had this burning bush experience. God called him and he went And he was doing all these miracles before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was this crazy, hard-hearted, oppressive, wicked king. You could say that Pharaoh was kind of a likeness to what 2020 has felt like for us. And then these 10 plagues happened. I mean, bugs, locusts, hail, the sea turned into, like, you got to read the story. It's crazy. So many miracles. Then this Passover celebration happened where God delivered the Israelites, and they were actually now understanding something about their creator in heaven, that he is a deliverer. But it doesn't just stop there, that there is 1.5 million people that get delivered out of Egypt, and God puts a pillar of fire in front of them and cloud to cover their flank, where the enemies couldn't even see them to attack them. And the Israelites are learning, wow, you know what? God is my protector. So they're learning things about God through the trial. And I know your life and my life that we've learned many wonderful things about God. Let us not forget that. And then, you know, and then they're approaching the Red Sea, and they start getting pursued by the Egyptians, and God parts an ocean. What? Like, how do you forget that? Like, there was a whale swimming beside you, like, in this wall of water. Like, God parted an ocean. Not only that, as they're going through the water, these 600, like, come on, 1.5 million to 600, 600 Egyptians are chasing after them to take them out. God stops their chariot wheels. They drown in the water, and the Israelites are delivered. Amazing. But it doesn't just stop there. They get on the other side and they're thirsty, and they come up to this brook and it's bitter water. And then Moses gets this stick and he throws a stick in the water. The water becomes fresh. And then the Israelites see another miracle. There is manna in the morning, quail at night. And God's providing for them. Moses strikes a rock and water comes flying. I'm telling you, like, this sounds exhausting, right? There is thing after thing after thing after thing. Even a Midianite army come against the Israelites. Joshua's fighting them in battle. Aaron and Hur are holding the hand of Moses up, and while Moses' hands were lifted before the Lord, they won the battle. They had seen battles won. They had seen the miraculous. They had seen deliverance. They had seen provision. And I want to say, church, what we need to do is we need to look back on the goodness of God. I'm telling you, God has been so good to us. God has been so good to this church. God builds his church in Toronto. I'm not worried about the church in Toronto. It looks like that the church in some ways feels like it's gone backwards this year. No, no, no. The remnant are getting ready for what's to come. I'm very excited about the future of the church. God started C3 Toronto. And I know far outside of Jess and I's own talents and human ability, we don't have much, but God has done an incredible miracle through this church. I mean, seriously, like, over 5,000 people have given their lives to Christ through the C3 Toronto story. I mean, that's a miracle right there. Hundreds and hundreds of baptisms have happened through the life of this church, and it's a sign of things to come. And, you know, I just think about the individual stories. One of those people that got saved in C3 Toronto and was baptized in this house is Sarah Sam. Sarah Sam did not know the Lord, came to our church, met God, and gave her life to Jesus. Now, how, if you don't know, Sarah Sam has been running Project Love Toronto, and she is on our staff, and she oversees the whole pastoral network. And what an amazing gift to our lives. Just the people that have walked. We tell our stories all the time in church. And I just think of every single... Do you know that I know and I am friends with the greatest people on this planet? I literally know them by name. Why? It's because the people in this church. I am surrounded, because of the existence of this church and because of the goodness of God, I am literally surrounded by the elite. Like, just even talk about Jojo and Mariel, for example, the elite. I love our family. I love our people. And even just to think of the marriages that wouldn't have been together, of the relationships that wouldn't have been developed, of the stories of miracles and healings and deliverance and all the wonderful things that God has done through this body of Christ, through this church. It's incredible. Why don't you just in the chat right now, why don't you just pick out a few names of people that you are so grateful for that you've met through God's goodness, that you've met through the life of this church. And just imagine what your life wouldn't be like if God didn't have a plan. I am so grateful. I mean, for even that reason alone, in a couple of weeks to come to the end of this series and to say, God, I honor you. You have brought me so far through the plan already, and we acknowledge you and honor you for the things to come. You are faithful to complete what you started. I mean, that's some good news. The chat is blowing up. The chat should be blowing up right now of people just celebrating one another. The fact that we get to be in connect groups right now, the fact that we're continuing these connect groups through December and January, I'm just so excited about the connection of our church and us encouraging one another, building one another up, and we're very excited about the things to come. Okay, so I'm just going to get the keys. I'll get Chrissy up to help me with this last point. So here's the thing. You're sitting here right now and you're like, okay, Sam, you reminded me that God's doing something in the cloud. You reminded me that God's a God of promise, and that even though I'm in the delay, that I still need to trust in the promise. I still need to trust in the promise giver. And then you're like, okay, I haven't seen it all come to pass, but now I know that God is faithful to complete what he started. I appreciate that, Sam. But now you're saying, so what do I do? What do I do now? If I'm in the delay and my promise giver has not completed his plan just yet, what am I to do? We're in this restriction. We're in 2020. We're in this crisis right now all around the world. I'm disillusioned. I'm in disarray. And what is going on? You know what's left to do? The last point is we must honor God. Why? Because he's worthy. Because he is God. Because you and I were created to worship. And he has a plan. And what we're going to do in this time is we're not going to try and do it out in our own strength. We're not going to get hasty or frustrated and complain anymore. We're going to take our complaint and our grief, and we're going to direct it to praise. We are going to honor God. I've, in all this uncertainty this year, I've found that my daily prayer life has been very simple just recently. I've just been saying to God what he led us to know through the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That's been my prayer life lately. I've just been going to God and I've just been saying, God, what's today's bread? What's the word today? And I know for our church, our word is to honor God. Our word is to... And we're going to, like the old saying says, is we're going to put our money where our mouth is. I know it's easy to talk the talk, but you and I mean, we're going to come to God with extravagance in 2 weeks' time. We're going to come to God and you have something that represents God's worth. It will stretch you. It will challenge you. And it won't be the same as your neighbor. Some people, that is like, you know, thousands of dollars, and some people, it's a few dollars. What you need to do is you need to go to God and you need to say, God, what would you have me do? I want to bring to you some form of worship. I want to sacrifice before you. I don't want to let this year tell my finances. I don't want to let this year dictate my circumstances. I don't want to let the pressures of life and the pressures of society drive my worship. No, no, no. My worship honors God. Amen? Amen. So God's been giving me this daily bread to just simply trust. Just easy words. Pray. To worship, to wait. And I don't know the circumstances of your life, but I'm telling you that God does. And here at the end of this message, if you found yourself in a place where you've questioned trust before God, I want to invite you to invite Jesus into your heart, to make him Lord of your life, to have a relationship with Jesus. I know that life has been crazy. I know that this year has been like no other year, but would you place all your life and all your trust in God? So what we're going to do is, if you've never invited Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, we're going to pray a prayer right now. Or maybe you're someone that has made this decision and you know that you need to make your life right with God. You too are going to be included in this prayer. And if that's you just watching online, I want you to click the raise your hand button that's going up in the chat right now. And I want you to make yourself known, like kind of as a faith step before God, that you're making a decision for Jesus, that you're done doing it in your own strength. You're done doing it your own way. You want Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You want God to be God of your life, and you want to live your life with him. So if that's you here today, either you're making this decision for the first time or you're recommitting your life to Christ, let's pray right now. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new right now as my Savior and my Lord. In your name, Jesus, I trust you. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.